My name is Randy Woodruff. I'm with the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board. I farm with my two brothers in a partnership in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. We're a fourth generation farm. We run a couple thousand acres, mainly corn, soybeans, and dark red kidney beans for grain crop. We used to have dairy, and we 2 years ago we switched over. We have beef herd there, just a small beef operation, so more so for a more of a hobby, that is.
Randy, let's begin with a recent trip overseas that you participated in to Tunisia. Who organized that, and what was the experience like?
Well, I'm a member of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion, which is a member of the U.S. Grains Council. And this last year, I was selected to be on the Middle Eastern Africa Action Team for U.S. Grains Council. And being on that committee, they wanted someone new on the committee to travel to Tunisia on a corn quality rollout seminar that they had, which in the meantime, we went over, and the first day we went to Tunisia, we went to one of these, it's an education center they call in Tunisia, where there's a grant given from U.S. Grains Council to Tunisia to help build their infrastructure towards their grain facilities and do more training for the young people there. So it's money well spent. We toured the school, and it's definitely, compared to our universities here, it's the equipment is going to go a long ways with them. They have to do this University Land Grant Iowa. They get training through them. There's certain steps they have to take for this monies that they got through this grant from the U.S. Grains Council. So we're there to help sign that documentation for that grant money they got. And then the main reason I was there is for a corn quality rollout. It's to, I give a talk about our own operation, what we do with our corn, how we dry it, what we do to make sure it's a good quality product for them, for eventually when it gets to their country, how what we take in care for our corn and the amount of corn we have, I mean, how we did on harvest that year and what to expect for next year. So giving, kind of endorsing the crop that there's going to be a crop for them to buy.
So I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about Tunisia as far as population and what kind of opportunities might be present there, but it sounds like, and as you touched on, this mission trip was twofold, in education, but also to explore those opportunities.
Well, that's right. They're big in poultry there. They're beginning in their dairy farms there, and it's they're putting up grain facilities. They cannot produce enough grains for themselves, so they're going to be buying grain. And by getting these new grain facilities there for processing, making feeds and such for their animals, they're becoming more and more where they're becoming a middle class, where it's a good future for our product, for our corn products to be exported to. And that's what we're trying to build this, building this cooperative, a partnership with them so that they come back for our corn later on years when we build this. But it's just as they require more middle class, it requires more food because they want a better life standard of living. So that's what we're trying to build there.
It's good, Randy, I think, to put a spotlight on these types of partnerships, as you call them, because so much talk is centered on NAFTA, Mexico. China's always in the conversation when it's exports. So to look at some of these smaller markets and the potential and continuing to build on those in addition to the larger, you know, multilateral trade agreements, they're all key pieces to the puzzle.
Well, we continually produce more and more corn per acre and beans and other products off this land in the U.S. that we have to find other markets besides these Canada and Mexico. I mean, you don't know what these other countries are going to do. And any more that we can get brought into our exports, it's forward for us.
I should ask you, too, as you were talking about the quality of the corn crop that you helped to produce in the U.S., what were some of the highlights, as you kind of pointed out, you kind of shared that story. What were you talking about?
Well, actually, when we shared it, I had told them that this year when we started out, we had a wet, cold spring, and we went through June, July, wet, and we're way behind in the growing degree units. We thought we were going to be way behind in the crop. All at once, August and September came along, and we ended up having the best corn crop we've had in overall. It's been the highest year production-wise this year. I mean, we've never been used to these kind of yields, and we used to break up when we were 190 bushels the acre, and this year we averaged over 220-some bushels the acre. One of the fields went for 243 bushels the acre, which is pretty good because I'm the northwestern part of Wisconsin. I'm due east of Minneapolis-St. Paul by about 100 miles, but we don't have that capability to grow in these 200-300 bushels the acre, and this year we're well over 200, and that was an average over all our farms. So quite well, and that's why we need these markets to pick up, because we continually produce more and more corn, and so with the technology we use. So,
and that's a key selling point to countries like Tunisia, is that even when there are some weather challenges, which in a typical year you're going to have some issues, the U.S. continues to produce. There's some great consistency.
And they even say, too, and when they're buying from these other countries, yes, they can buy them a little cheaper once, but they say they no way get that quality that comes from the U.S. and with beans or corn. It's the quality they like there, but it's an expanding market, and hopefully we can fulfill it. These other countries have it, but we have the quantity that we can take care of it. So,
Randy, anything else about that trip or exports in general before we talk for a minute or two about the upcoming growing season?
Well, it's a big learning experience for me. I've learned a lot more from it than what I put into it, I'm sure, but it's surprising the things you learn when you go to these places. And I say we got to view a dairy farm, which it's a lot of hand labor over there, and they had some of the setups for the newer technology, but they weren't quite using it yet. And the grain facility, I mean, they had it all worked out where they had a holding capacity. They could unload, they could do 90% of their holding capacity in one day just to deliver out to the farm. So they have the need for it. They just have to expand these grain facilities to do it.
Well, you're coming off a year, as you said, with some really outstanding yields as you make plans for 2018. Does the plan look pretty similar to the blueprint from a year ago?
Well, we like to stick with our crop rotation, but you got to look at the markets too. I mean, corn is down and the outlook is not great on that. And beans have been pretty, I mean, the price has been pretty favorable on beans, and you can lock it in for next year, those bean prices at a profit yet. So, but we tend to get our yields out of corn. Beans can be a little more risky when you put in soybeans. You, no matter what you do, you can sometimes get a half the yield just with the weather. But corn's always been fairly safe to plant, so we'll probably be about the same. I think we might be a little bit higher in our corn. We won't do as much corn on corn this year, put it that way. So beans are probably going to be a little higher this year, depending what we're going to do with our dark red kidney beans.
In achieving the yields you did a year ago, I would imagine you don't want to cut back on many, if any, inputs if you can help it. But again, with these tight margins, is that an area that you're exploring?
We've never cut back on the inputs, just because we still got to look forward to it. We got to go for that crop, even if the price is down. Well, sometimes you want the quantity to make up for it, so we don't hold back on our inputs. Just those got to be there too. I know it gets strict, but we've always been fairly conservative on what we make in other purchases, like equipment. I mean, if we have the money, we replace equipment, but if it's tight, we'll still put the inputs on, but we'll hold back on the equipment purchases.
Growing crops in the upper Midwest, what for you are some of the biggest challenges when you look at pressures, whether they come from weeds, insects, diseases? What are some of the major problems?
Well, there's always more and more weed pressures. I mean, there's some that are getting, if you aren't able to kill them with certain chemicals you're using, and then markets, I mean, that's one hard part right now. You just look at what you can get for the prices in southern Wisconsin versus up by us. We got a 40 cent premium. I mean, our base is that much higher, 35, 40 cents higher just if you go south of Toma. So we're really hurt on that when you hear some of the prices they're getting down in the central, the southern part of Wisconsin with what we can get up there. That hurts a little bit. So, but yet with fuel prices the way we are, you can't afford to truck it down there either. So you're kind of in a catch-22. So.
Yeah, those bases, the basis levels have been wide for a while, and even though we're seeing, like you talked about, soybean strength recently, you still got to think about cash prices, although forward contracting, and there are some opportunities there, but the overall financial environment continues to be pretty challenging.
I think we're all going to have to learn to tighten our belts up. I don't see it getting much better next year, so people got to live to be conservative and watch your land rents and help purchasing more land. I mean, you might want to kind of step back and let your neighbor buy it. And I mean, I've always been real gung-ho on when there's something available, I want to pick it up just for expansion. But a person might want to think twice about doing that now.
Yeah, now might not be the time for that. Randy, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
And thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming down here.